something that we looked at from a small angle over a year ago. And I'd like to take a look at it full on. We have several holidays in our year that that commemorate different historic events. A couple years ago, we talked about Sukkot and Kiva Sukkot Oshavti, what that's referring to. So Sukkot is, in some sense, that's very clear from the text, commemorating part of the desert experience. Question is, which part? The beginning, the end, the middle? Okay, dispute, but at some point, Kiva Sukkot Oshavti B'nai Yisrael. Pesach's a no-brainer. Pesach's explicitly and repeatedly a commemoration of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Question is, what's Shavuot? So the reality is that all three holidays, especially Shavuot and Sukkot, are identified in the Torah as harvest holidays. They have to do with the harvest season. Pesach is sort of the beginning of harvest. Shavuot's the beginning of the wheat harvest, which is the critical one. And Sukkot is the end of the harvest.
Shavuot is not primarily a celebration of the Torah?
There we go. So now, let's take a look at the Tanakh. Thank you, my shill. All right. I'll punch you. It's okay. The Torah, at no point, and you take a look at a couple of dimensions of Shavuot, which are on Source 2 and Source 3 on the page, makes no mention whatsoever about Matan Torah. At no point anywhere in Tanakh is there any intersection, even a hint to an intersection between Shavuot and the commemoration of the giving of the Torah. Moreover, the event of the giving of the Torah is itself not commemorated in any way, except in a whole different holiday. Which holiday do we have in our calendar that officially and formally commemorates Matan Torah? Perhaps, it was the only one, Rosh Hashanah. Because what's Rosh Hashanah called? Yom Zichron Truah, a day of commemorating a blasting of a shofar. And of course, what was the most famous shofar in history that was blasted is the shofarot that we heard and Matan Torah. So you could argue that Rosh Hashanah is some sort of a commemoration of Matan Torah, but Shavuot is never connected that way. So where did we get the idea that Shavuot, or more directly, the 6th of Sivan, is the day on which we got the Torah? We certainly don't get it from the text of the Torah itself. Please take a look at the handout. Look at page 3, the second separate page that's here. And this is chapter 19, which we read last week, chapter 19 of Shemot, which tells us the following. B'chodesh ha-shlishi, l'tzeit b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, b'yom hazeh, ba'u midbar Sinai. Simple translation, in the third month since they left, which is the month of Sivan, what we call Sivan, on that day they came to Midbar Sinai. What's that day? We don't know. Some day in the third month. And then there is a series of interactions between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe that ultimately leads to Moshe leading the people to the foot of the mountain, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, and then it's a little bit unclear what happens after that, although we'll try to deal with those psukim also. But where do we get Vav Sivan from? There's no mention whatsoever here. All right, and it's such a problematic thing that if you take a look at the first source, you will see that it was not even a matter of consensus among the rabbis as to what day Matan Torah happened. Now, important to note that when I use the word Matan Torah, it's just like Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim is not a one point in history. It's a series of events that you could argue lasts 40 years, or even a little more. From the Makot all the way into entering the land. Maybe. You could talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim as being a particular moment in time, but which moment in time? Is it Kriyat Yam Suf? Is it Makat Bechorot? Is it the Korban Pesach? Is it that morning when they start marching?
It's just Bayom Ha'u, or Balayla Ha'u, right?
But Yitziat Mitzrayim is referred to throughout Chumash and throughout Tanakh in reference to all sorts of pieces, including if we understand that Sukkot is a commemoration of how we lived in the desert, and Sukkot is Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim, well, the Yitziat Mitzrayim now is not just the exiting from Egypt, but also the travels through the desert and other things of that sort. So, now, when we talk about Matan Torah, and Matan Torah is not a phrase that's used in those words in the Tanakh, nonetheless, when we talk about Matan Torah, question is, what moment in time are we referring to? Are we referring to arrival at the foot of the mountain? Are we referring to the end of the 3 days of separation? Are we referring to hearing God's voice? Are we referring to Moshe ascending the mountain afterwards to go into the cloud? are referring to the entire 40 days that Moshe is in the cloud, and we're at the bottom, and we finally give up in frustration. Egel Hazahav. What do we mean by Matan Torah? So right now, for purposes of this part of the discussion, when I refer to Matan Torah, I mean God speaking to the people. And the people hearing Anochi Hashem Elokecha, at least the first two, if not all 10, of the Aseret HaDibrot. Famous Machloket, of course, did we hear. Right, we're going to call that revelation. Good. Famous Machloket, whether or not we heard the first two or heard all 10. Based on the fact that after number two, the language shifts to God in the third person. Right? All right, so now, take a look at the first source, Tanu Rabbanan. And this is the source we're going to start with, which is the Sugya in Masachet Shabbat about Matan Torah, that really starts with the issue of the nature of the three-day separation, and was it a full 3 days, or was it a partial 3 days, based on laws of Tumah v'Tahara. That's kind of where this whole thing starts. Tanu Rabbanan. B'shishi b'chodesh nitnu aseret ha'dibrot li'Yisrael. And you see here that the Matan Torah, the reference point is specifically the Decalogue. On the sixth of the month, and the month we all understand is Sivan, the one we call Sivan, the aseret ha'dibrot are given to Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi omer b'shivabo. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's the seventh. Now, lots of jokes made about, well, yeah, Har Sinai is in Chutz Laaretz, so they kept 2 days Yontif, so it was on the second day Yontif, and they were tired from staying up all night the first night, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, cute. But that's not what's going on here. And there is a machloket that develops that has to do with the nature of the days of separation, whether they're 3 full days of separation, or was it the third day of separation on which Hashem came down, which means did it start on what we'll call the fourth. It was either way, it was the fourth. Was it the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and the seventh it was given? Or was the fourth, fifth, and then on the sixth it was given? However, there are 2 points of departure here which I'd like to investigate. The Chulei Alma, you can see the arrows. Amarava, the Chulei Alma. The Chulei Alma means according to everyone, which means according to both Reb Yossi and the Chachamim, who disagreed about this particular date of the month. Barosh Chodesh Atu L'Midbar Sinai. So they start with this assumption about the text, that the arrival that we just read about by Yom HaZeh, on page 3, by Yom HaZeh Ba'al Midbar Sinai, was Rosh Chodesh. How do we know that? Tivacha by Yom HaZeh, because it says in our Pasuk, Ba'chodesh HaShlishi, by Yom HaZeh. What does Ba'yom HaZeh mean, literally? On that day. It doesn't tell you what day of the month it is, right? But, Uchtiv Hatam, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, which is of course the famous mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh given in Mitzrayim, right? HaChodesh Hazeh. So what are they playing with? Hazeh being a reference to today, and today being Rosh Chodesh. Malan Rosh Chodesh Avkan Rosh Chodesh. Parenthetically, that's not even necessarily pshat in Parshat HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, if you just read the psukim, doesn't necessarily mean today's Rosh Chodesh. It could mean we're now in this new month, and this month is the first month, and on the 10th, take the lamb into the house, which means it could have been given any time before the 10th. But okay, we'll read it as Rosh Chodesh. And now with the Gzeirah Shavah of the word Hazeh, we say, oh, just like the command of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem happened on Rosh Chodesh, so therefore, Bayom Hazeh is Rosh Chodesh. A little stretchy? A little stretchy. Good. And now we've got another one, which is B'Shabbat Nitna Torah LeYisrael. That, now, again, Nitna Torah, Matan Torah, again, has multiple meanings. But here we're talking about a particular moment in time, not a period, because we're talking about what day of the week it was. Saying that event, which is the event of revelation, the event of Bnei Yisrael hearing God's Decalogue, happened on Shabbat. How do we know that? And again, Gzeirah Shavah. K'tiv ha-chazachorit yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. What is utterance number 4? How does it famously start? It starts with Kiddush. Zachorit yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. I'm kidding about the Kiddush, but Zachorit yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Right? V'ch'tiv ha-tam v'yom ha-shabbat l'ha'am zachorit ha-yom ha-zeh. Where's that? That is the day we left Mitzrayim, where Moshe says, Zachor et hayom hazeh, which establishes the perennial obligation of telling the story. Zachor et hayom hazeh. Now, Malalan bitzumo shel yom, just like that command, Zachor et hayom hazeh, happened on the day they left Egypt, meaning that when you use the word Zachor, in that context at least, It's being used on the day that you're supposed to remember. Remember, here's a day, remember this day forever. So the same thing, Afkan Bitzumo Shalyom. So therefore, the same thing in Aseret HaDibrot. So therefore, the way they're reading it is as follows. Zachoret Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho must have been said on Shabbat. Just like Zachoret HaYom HaZeh was mentioned. Now, of course, that's even stretchier because Zachoret HaYom HaZeh says in its own sentence, today's the day. Today's the day I want you to remember forever. Zachoret Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho says nothing about what they were saying it on. Matter of fact, you could argue it's the exact opposite. Today's not Shabbat, remember Shabbat when it's coming. So where did they get the idea that the Torah was given on Shabbat? And by the way, then the rest of the dispute, you can see on your own, between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan is parsed by the later Chachamim as being essentially about how do we figure out the week beforehand so that everybody's in agreement that they arrived on Rosh Chodesh and everybody's in agreement that they get, the Torah was given on the Shabbat, which means if you say the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan, that means the 7th of Sivan is Shabbat, that means Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, and they arrived Sunday. If, on the other hand, you say the Torah was given on the 6th, that means that the Rosh Chodesh was Monday, and that means they arrived on Monday. And then the only question is, how do you deal with the Psukim in Perek Yutet? On page 3, how do you deal with them as far as parsing out the days in between the arrival and the revelation? That's what comes down to that. That's what this, we'll come down 1/2 second. However, there are two premises here which are a little bit difficult to figure where they got them from. Premise number one is that we all agree the Torah was given on Shabbat. Mechatese. And the second thing is, what's first in order, is that we all agree that the whole process started on Rosh Chodesh. Now, if you start with Rosh Chodesh, putting Shabbat aside for a moment, if you start with Rosh Chodesh, you can sort of sense where they would get close to the 6th of Sivan, because depending how you count, in chapter 19, on page 3, Moshe's ascent and descent, etc., and add 3 days of separation, you could end up with the 6th of Sivan. Parenthetically, Maidan pointed out in an article he wrote a while ago, but it was put out last week, that really, from the simple pshat of the Psukim, the Torah was given on the 3rd of Sivan. Because if you say that they arrived on Har Sinai, and then there's a 3-day separation, so 3 days later the Torah was given.
Okay?
By Yom HaShlishi of what? So nobody thinks By Yom HaShlishi means the 3rd of Sivan.
Right.
They think it's the 3rd day of the separation. Well, that we'll be fine with. But I'm starting with a different question, which who says they arrived on Rosh Chodesh? In other words, at some point in the 3rd month, they arrive, and at some point there, Hashem says 3 days, and on the 3rd day I'll come down. And then Hashem comes down, and etc. And there are no dates given anywhere. From here, by the way, until the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there are no dates given. What happens the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan? The Mishkan is dedicated. Till then, there are no dates given in the Torah. Everything's kind of amorphous. And you're going to turn around and ask me the question, well, how could it be that an event so critical, the founding event of the Jewish people, which is Matan Torah, doesn't have a date or a commemoration? I'll ask you a different question. Where did Matan Torah happen? You'll answer, Har Sinai. And then I'll ask you, where's that? You'll say, well, I don't know. One thing I know is not Santa Catarina.
Oh,
where is it? I don't know where Har Sinai is. And an interesting Gemara, Masech Babatra, this is the famous story of Rabbi Baruch Hanna, is that he went to go see Har Sinai and found the entire mountain surrounded by scorpions. What's the Gemara trying to say? So it seems to mean the idea is, keep away, there's not a place for you. So both the location and the time have been shrouded in mystery. We don't know when the Torah was given, we don't know where the Torah was given, which, by the way, has a tremendous advantage of making the Torah timeless and placeless, and therefore universal and omniversal and eternal.
The answer is it doesn't matter.
And on one other level, it doesn't matter. And it also helps us avoid sanctifying a particular place.
If that is
as big, hold on a second, sanctifying a particular place and making it the place, mm-hmm. which is, of course, not the divine intent. However, hold on a second, however, this still leaves us with the question, is that then Chazal come along and, not the place, but the time, give a very particular time, that we say, Befem Malay, every year on Shavuot, Zman Matan Toratenu. So the question I want to put on the table, and I'll take all the questions, the question I want to put on the table is, basically, Minama. How do you know the Torah was given on the 6th or 7th of Sivan? Starting with these assumptions. Okay.
Global question.
Okay, so we have to try to figure out where this whole cheshbon comes from. And I ask the questions here about how Shavuot became associated with Matan Torah. And again, the whole issue of it happening on Shabbat. Now, both of these things, again, are premised on what we would agree are weak textual links. All right? When you have, in the world of halakha, as an example, information which is learned from one halakha to the other, via the conduit of a gzeirah shavah, so there are essentially two approaches to understanding how that works. For instance, how do we know that you're obligated to eat a kazayit in the sukkah the first night? We all know you're chayiv to eat a kazayit in the sukkah the first night. Anybody who's spent Sukkot in a cold environment knows about all the things that happen. You have to run outside, make kiddush, and have a kazayit and run back inside, or whatever it is you do. Right? Where do we know that from? So the source that's given in the Gemara in Sukkah is Chamisha Asar. There's a Gzerah Shavat. Chamisha Asar is used to define the date of the Pesach, when you're obligated to eat a Kazayit Matzah. Chamisha Asar is used to define the date of Sukkot, which is also on the 15th of the month. Oh, just like the 15th, you have to eat a Kazayit at night, you have to eat a Kazayit at night here. Now, you could take that in many directions. You would end up having a Seder outside under the stars. You would end up having to eat matzah in your sukkah. You make all sorts of connections. We don't make those connections. Which connection do we make? You have to eat a kazayit of pot. So therefore you had a pot, which happens to be matzah on Pesach night. Doesn't happen to be. And then you have a pot, which is challah or bread or whatever it is, on Sukkot. So now you have to ask the question. Are we getting the halakha from the gzeirah shavah? If so, then you really have to ask, well, why not take it further and say, you have to have your Pesach seder in a sukkah. Or say that first out of Sukkot, you have to have Shvur matzah. And nobody suggests either one of them. No, just for the matzah. And nobody suggests either one of those things. Or do we start from somewhere else, which says, we eat a kazayit in the Sukkah first night because we have a halakha that we do it. Once we have the halakha that we do it, what's our textual anchor for that? We have a gzeirah shavah. And this, by the way, is part of the whole study of Midrash Halakha. How does Midrash Halakha work? Does it work that we have no idea what to do, and we look up psukim, and we use the tools, and from the tools we derive the halakha, what Elon would call midrash hayotzer, or, which is almost always the case according to most people, do we already have the halakha based on an oral tradition, and then we find the textual anchors to back it up, which is what he would call midrash hamiva'er, a midrash that supports or clarifies. But that's with halakha. Here we're not talking in the realm of halakha. Talking of history of a sort, where we're trying to determine when did particular things happen. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan's dispute is one that edges around the side of halachot that have nothing to do with our discussion, which are halachot of Tumah v'Tahara. So the question is, what do we do with this Gzeirah Shavah? Do we say, well, we know 100% that the Torah is given on Shabbat because Zachor and Zachor, and we know that they arrived on Rosh Chodesh Sivan because Hayom Hazeh, Hayom Hazeh, and therefore everything falls into place? Or is it perhaps the case that there's something stronger driving us both to Vav Sivan, or Zayin Sivan, and Shabbat, and that once we have it, then we use these Gzeirot Shavot in order to support our contention? So I'd like to suggest that we, in order to look forward, we have to look back. And so please turn the page to page 2, which is a parsha that we looked at last year from a different perspective, but that's when some of this started peeking in. You know, you think about it, and you think about the momentous times in our history. The momentous times in our history, the Akedah, Yaakov and the angel. Yaakov, Menashe, and Ephraim. These big moments. And then you think about a whole series of big moments strung together, which essentially starts in around the third chapter of Shemot and goes all the way to through Matan Torah. Moshe at the snare, Moshe against Paro, Shalach Ami v'Yavduni Bamidbar, the Makot, all the lessons, Makat Bechorot, the Korban Pesach, Tefillin, wow, big stuff. Kriyat Yamsu, Shirat Hayam, culminating in Atem Tiulim, Amlachet Kohanim, Vagoy Kadosh, Anochi Adonai Racha, Shotziticha, Meretzotayim, Beit Avadim. Wow. It's huge. And sitting right in the middle of that huge is a parsha which is miraculous, which is lovely, which is fantastic, but which seems relatively mundane in comparison, which is the parsha of the Man. The parsha of the Man seems to be, from the casual look, which is always a bad way to look at anything in Torah, but from the casual look at parsha of the Man, it seems to be a method of keeping Bnei Yisrael alive in the Midbar. They had matzah. Maybe they thought they were going to go straight to Israel. Maybe they were supposed to originally go straight to Israel. Who knows? We don't know. God's got his plans. But at some point, they ran out. And then God says, okay, here's how I'm going to feed you. And that, you should be fed that way for the next few months till you get home. Okay, so it turns out to be 40 years. Oops. But there's something going on in the story of the Man. And the story of the Man takes 36 psukim. It's a huge parak sitting in the middle of this big drama, which makes us think that maybe the Man is part of the drama. Maybe more than part of the drama, maybe it's a necessary cog to getting us to the next step. So let's take a look at it. And we don't have the whole parsha here, but I'll show you the parts which I think are relevant to what we're talking about. Remember I mentioned to you that we have no dates. We have no dates until we get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But we do have one date after we left Mitzrayim. When did we leave Mitzrayim? We have a date. What's the date we left Mitzrayim? The 15th of the first month. Right? We know that. We know that both because we're commanded with Parsha Chodesh that on the 14th of the month in the afternoon you're going to shech the korban, and that night you're going to eat it, and the next morning you're going to, they leave. We're not told they're going to leave, but they do leave. We're also told that explicitly in Parsha Mas'ei, when it lists the travels of Bnei Yisrael, and it starts, B'chamishah sayom l'chodesh harishon, u'mitzrayim mekabrim, the Egyptians are burying their dead, etc., we leave. Okay. We have one other date. Vayisu me'ilim, top of page 2. Vayavo ko'adat Bnei Yisrael el midbar sin, asher ben elim uvein Sinai, they're getting close to Sinai, B'chamishah sayom l'chodesh hasheni, so when did they arrive? The 15th day of the second month. What day of the week was it? No clue. No clue. And they complain. Why do they complain? You've taken us out to kill us with starvation because we got no more food. You know, the matzah ran out. Okay. Okay, I'm going to make food rain down. Now, could God have fed us some other way? Of course. In any way he would have fed us, you would ask the same question. But he adds in the following, L'ma'an anasenu aylech b'torah timlo. I'm going to test them to see if they will follow my Torah or not. Years ago, we talked about this from a whole different perspective, which I think is an accurate perspective also, which is, this was a test to see, are these people, newly liberated from slavery, able to restrain their own eating in order to make sure that the other fellow has what to eat? And that's a piece of the puzzle, but that's not the whole puzzle. This is the test to see if they're going to follow the Torah. Okay, let's see what the test is. V'haya bayom hashishi, right after we hear about the test, that there is a test. V'haya bayom hashishi v'echinu et ashrei aviv. What will happen on Friday? Or better yet, on Yom Shishi. What will happen? V'echinu et ashrei aviv. They'll prepare everything that they're going to bring. V'haya mishneh ashrei kutu yom yom. There'll be a double portion over what they normally collect. Now, when is Yom HaShishi? What does the phrase Yom HaShishi mean? This connects with what you said Yom HaShishi before. What does the word Yom HaShishi mean? Literally. The sixth day. Yeah. They don't yet have Shabbos and Erev Shabbos and, Shir Shalvim HaYom Rim. So what's Yom HaShishi? It means, like you said, the sixth day from now.
Yeah.
In other words, there's going to be Man, and on the sixth day of that Man falling, you're going to have a double, and you're going to prepare what you need for the next day. Okay? So that means that Erev Shabbat is what day of the Man? The sixth day. Which means, when's the first day of the Man falling? Not a Sunday. which means when did they complain? Because remember, take a look at the next pasuk.
Sunday.
What's the first day the man fell? On Sunday. So when did they arrive? On Shabbat. Because Moshe says, tomorrow you'll have man. Which now helps us out. What day of the week is the 15th of Iyar? Shabbat. It says they arrived on the 15th. If the 15th is Shabbat, then when is it? Now let's follow the story. On that morning, which we're going to call the 16th of Iyar, the frost cleared and they saw this stuff for the first time and they called it man. It's Sunday. So if that's the case, what's the date of the first Shabbat that they actually have man? 22nd. The 22nd of Iyar. Very good.
That means that it can't be Shabbos when they got Mount Torah, because it's the 15th
of
the next month.
Well, hold on a second. Okay? Vahim bayom ha-shishi, v'laktu lecha mishneh. What happened on the next Friday? That Friday, the 21st, they collect double. Shnei omer l'achad. V'avol kol nesi adal v'yigidu l'moshe. The Nesim evidently forgot about this or something. They didn't understand what to do. They came to Moshe complaining people were collecting too much, because what was the lesson of the last 6 days? You only collect, and what happens if you keep over? It spoils. So they came in to Moshe. Tomorrow is a Shabbaton Lashem.
Does that mean there was more man that fell on this Friday?
Yes, there was double.
Well, they were taking double, but
no, there was double. It says it's a.
It was enough.
Yeah, but they took double.
But I mean, it could have been the same amount that was falling.
That's not what it says. It says laktu lecha mishneh. They collected double,
right?
And it was enough for everybody.
Right, but I'm saying the falling and collecting.
You're asking how much magical stuff fell.
No, that's what they.
All of a sudden, they came and complained and said people are taking too much.
No, everybody's taking double. That's the problem, because there's double what they're accustomed to getting.
It wasn't really falling from the sky.
Well, whatever. No, it was there in the morning when.
Well, yeah.
Right.
No, I understand, but was there
more? Correct.
Okay.
There was more.
Yeah.
And they left it till the morning, Kashet Siva Moshe, which, by the way, you would think is like kind of dangerous. They left it till the morning, but Moshe told them to. And we talked about last year about that component. And listen very carefully to these words. What does Moshe say to them on that day? That day is the 22nd. Ichlu Hayom. Ki Shabbat Hayom Ladonai. Listen to that phrase, because it's going to be very important. Hayom lo timso basadeh. And famously, from those three mentions of Hayom, we learned the remes to Sudash Lashit, to Shalos Sudot. Shesh demim tokatuv yom ha-shvi'i Shabbat lo yebo. Okay? Now, vahi bayom ha-shvi'i. When's bayom ha-shvi'i?
Seventh.
Meaning? Which Shabbat?
The next one.
The next one, yatzu min ha'am lo kot v'lo matzau. What's the next one? What's the date? The 29th. Because on the 22nd, Moshe comes out and says, Hayom. He doesn't say Machai, he says Hayom. Mm-hmm. This is Shabbat. What you collected yesterday was fine. There won't be any out there. And then, Yom HaShvi'i means the next week. All right? Good.
But they had collected double the day before.
They had collected double the day before.
They went out to see if they could collect.
Correct. Right, we presume that all now they all collected double and still went up. Yeah, exactly, and that's the test. So now let's stop and think before we finish this parsha. What is the test of the man? What does it have to do with the Torah? What is the test of the man? What does it have to do with the Torah? So let's start with Shabbat. What is the test of Shabbat? It's a little hard for us to think about because our entire lives have been focused around Shabbat. And our entire work week is focused around Shabbat. But I want you to think, you don't have to think back to those times. Think back to the beginning of the previous century. But certainly think back to a situation of a farmer. What's the test of Shabbat? I'm going to sit back one day and not work, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of my parnasa. That's an amazing test. You see why the man is that test? The man is, I'm going to sit back, and I'm only going to take what I need for today. And then Shabbat becomes a whole other part of the test, which is, I'm going to take enough for today and tomorrow, and tomorrow I won't go out to collect. That's the test. Now, watch what happens.
Why is that a test?
What?
If Hashem's giving you what you need today,
the day before,
to see if you can,
faith,
if you can restrain your natural fear and inclination to collect more, being trumped by the faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the proper amount, and tomorrow it'll be there also. And that on Friday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you double, and that this one will actually keep over, and that you won't have to go out tomorrow to collect either.
But why did they go out Saturday if there was
what?
Why did they go out Saturday if there was if they already had the leftovers?
Well, because
evidently they wanted more.
Well, also,
but that doesn't
have,
make
they
sense.
They may have taken more than they needed in the first few days that they were collecting, and whatever was left over rotted.
Right, it did.
They had witnessed that. Now they've taken a double portion. What's going to happen in the second half?
Could be.
It could very well
but
rot.
But the next day already, it didn't rot.
They don't know yet.
It could be. We don't know. And by the way, evident, and remember, the man is first thing in the morning.
It
could be
that.
The man is first thing in the morning. Yes.
They're supposed to have it. They're so used to going out every day to collect man.
Could be that. That could be part of the issue also. That could be part of the issue also, Mike. Because the question is my faith based on some sort of an inbred thing, or am I actually being conscious of what I'm doing and saying, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, that's what the faith is. The exact faith that says, I've got to finish Tuesdays before Wednesday morning, is the same faith that says, Saturday morning there will be stuff. Same faith. So watch what happens. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about one mitzvah, which is Shabbat. He doesn't say, why are you abandoning my Shabbat? He says, why are you abandoning my Torah? Which tells us now that the test of the man, Hayelech b'Torah Timlo, is a test about Shabbat. I'm giving you this great gift of Shabbat. Therefore, I'm giving you double on Friday, on Erev Shabbat. Shvu ish tachtav, stay in your place. Ayetze ish mekomo b'yom ha-shvi'i. That Rabbi Kiva from there learns Tumim. And what do we have? Vayishpitu ha'am b'yom ha-shvi'i. They did rest.
Others learn other things from that.
What?
Others learn not to leave their houses on Shabbos from that.
Not in our tradition. Not in the rabbinic tradition. Right, right. No, of course. Yeah, sure. But they also allow lots of our ways to what they learn. Right. But Vayishpitu ha'am b'yom ha-shvi'i means what? Everybody rested, which means whichever individuals there were who that second Shabbat went out to collect didn't collect anymore. Vayishpitu ha'am b'yom ha-shvi'i doesn't mean most of them, it means everybody rested. Because otherwise things haven't changed. Okay. What was the test again of the man? Well, they followed the Torah. So what does that mean? That means that if you pass the test, you get the Torah. If you don't pass the test, you don't get the Torah. What happens the first time? The first time, they didn't know what to do. So Moshe tells them about it. What happens the next week? They failed. But then there's a bit of Musa. What happens the third week? They pass the test. That's the 29th of Iyar. Okay, Macha Cheshbon. Let's say for a moment that Iyar is only 29 days long. Then what's the next Shabbat? The 7th of Sivan. Let's say that Iyar is 30 days long. The next Shabbat is the 6th of Sivan. What I'd like to suggest is that Rava's statement that everybody agrees the Torah was given on Shabbat is actually driven by the inherent connection between and the explicit connection between the man and the Torah. And that the man's focal point is around Shabbat. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down. There are at least three different focal points of Shabbat in the man's story. There's at the beginning when he says, I'm going to give you man, and on the sixth day there's going to be extra. Then there's Moshe's big announcement about it. And then when they go out and violate it, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Musar about it. There's this very deep tie between the man and Shabbat, which of course is exemplified by what we talked about last year, Parsha B'Shalach, which was Lecha Mishnah, which we actively do every Shabbat at our table. So I'd like to suggest this is where Rav is coming from. This is where Chazal are coming from. They say it's pshita to us that the fourth Shabbat of this event, meaning the third Shabbat that there was man, meaning the first Shabbat, it actually did it right, was there they got the Torah. Because that was the test. And so therefore, on the 15th, they arrive, that's in the text. On the 22nd, they have double portion on Friday. On the 21st, 22nd, there's no man, their announcement. On the 29th, people go out to collect, and they get Musar. The next Shabbat, either the 6th or 7th of Sivan, is when they all rested on Shabbat. Now that's one story that's being told outside of the story of Matan Torah. You have no escape from acknowledging that the story of Matan Torah and the story of the man are happening concurrently. Question is just how concurrently? Meaning, even though this is in Perek Tet Zayin and that's in Perek Yud Tet and on, nonetheless, there's a crossover because this one starts on the 15th of Iyar and goes for several weeks. Which means they didn't stay in one place when they're getting the man. They kept moving. And they traveled and they arrived in front of Har Sinai and they kept getting man. They kept getting man for all 40 years. So I'd like to suggest this, that what happens here is that the day that they passed the test, they collect the double on Friday, and the next day, which is the day that they pass the test, is the day they're given the Torah. And therefore, we're able to come around and say, aha, so that means this entire process starts on Rosh Chodesh, and more critically, the Torah is given on Shabbat. Not just because of Zachor, but because Shabbat is inherently tied up with their ability to get the Torah. On the third page, we go kind of go through the whole sequence of the timing, but we don't have time for that. We'll take a look at all that. But hopefully this gives us a little bit of a new insight, not only into where Chazal come up with Vav Sivan and then for Zayin Sivan, and then therefore what do Chazal do? They say, aha, we happen to have a Chag on that same day, a harvest festival on that same day. And now all the symbolism of the harvest festival, the Shtei HaLechem, and the chita and everything else suddenly become infused with new meaning relating to Matan Torah, but that's not where it starts. Where it starts really is in the story of the man. It may indeed be not a coincidence that the special korban given on Shavuot is Shtei HaLechem. And after all, what was the big thing of the man? Lechem Mishneh.